take your Bible this evening and turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. The lesson tonight is this. We're going to talk about training our children financially. Training our children financially. Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22, starting with verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 4. Stand with me, if you would. Proverbs chapter 22, starting with verse number 4. Listen as I read, please. The Bible says this. It says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Again, the lesson tonight is training our children financially. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless us as we talk this evening. I pray, Lord, we'll learn something. Help us that our minds would be full. Help us to help our children. And I think help our grandchildren. Help us to help the children around us to learn propriety and scriptural behavior in regard to money or their finances. Holy Spirit of God, control our teaching, please. Control our learning, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. If you were listening as we read in Proverbs chapter 22, in that passage of Scripture, we see money or finances being alluded to or just flat out mentioned over and over again. In verse number 4, it said, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches." There's money mentioned. Verse number 6, it tells us we're to train our children. Now, in verse number 7, it said, "The rich rule over the poor." Again, there's money mentioned. Then, it says in verse 7, "The borrower is servant to the lender." That's money again. That's financial concept again. In verse number 8, it talks about sowing and reaping. Now, I don't think it's just sowing and reaping like we would mention Galatians 6:7. This is talking about financially sowing and reaping. Then in verse 9, it speaks of the bountiful eye, and that bountiful eye being blessed. And that, I think, it's talking about goals or investing and how God blesses. Then in verse number 9, it says, "He giveth his bread to the poor." Now, the poor are mentioned here, and bread, though bread may, it's obviously talking about the kind of bread that you eat, but at the same time, it is talking about God has prospered someone, and they gave of their prosperity to the poor. Now, over and over again, from verse 4 through 9, it alludes to or references finances or money. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 6, tucked right in this conversation that God has chosen to have in the Scripture, he says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." What's that say to you? Now, I tell you what it says to me. It says to me that God, while he's busy talking about finances, he said, "Now, don't you forget to train your children." But since he is talking so many times about finances, I'm just sure that God intended for us to train our children properly in regard to finances. We are to train our children about many, many things. And because money is such a big thing in our world, training them about their finances and their money would be very important. I'm going to set a little illustration out here. I'm going to get to it later on. But I've got a little jar here that says savings. I've got a little jar here that says spending. And then I've got a little jar here that says giving. We'll come back to this. You know that Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, God is saying many, many things there, but I will tell you this. If we don't train our children financially, they can shame the family name by mishandling their money. Let me say to every parent and every adult here, let me remind you of something. To teach your children about money is to help their marriage. It is rare that I ever counsel marriages without finances being a part of the tension in a difficult marriage. So, if we will teach our children about finances, we may limit a certain number of marital struggles because of the properly handling of the finances. To teach our children about finances is to help their walk with God. Because if you don't give to God and if you don't handle your finances right, there will be something wrong with your closeness to God. To teach your children about finances is to help their children or your grandchildren. Now, you cannot make your kids teach their kids something, but you can at least teach your kids something that if they were smart, they would pass on to their kids about finances. But if you say, I'd like to help my grandchildren, but that's a long way away, then teach your children right, because they are the ones that are going to raise your grandkids. Did you know that if you'll teach your children about finances, you could help the lost? Because your children then will handle their funds right, and those funds could help keep people out of hell, and that could be a lot of blessing for them. Now, I think this, there are probably people in this room who would say, you know, preacher, I wish I would have been taught more about handling finances and money. I'm sure of that. Some of you were taught, but you didn't listen. And some of you adults would say, I wish I would have listened to what I was being taught. And I'm sure we all feel that way. I think there are probably some older folks here that wish their grown kids would have been taught, or wish their grown kids would have listened to what they were taught. Now listen, there are a lot of things. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. There are a lot of that includes a lot of things. I think we ought to teach them to be clean. We ought to teach them the proper way to dress. I think we ought to teach our kids to brush their teeth. And they need to learn math. And they need to learn science and penmanship. And that they need to learn a lot of things. But I would tell you this also. They need to learn finances. And they need to learn to handle their money. The world says teach them how to earn a living. And I'm for that. But I think if we'll teach them how to live, then we can teach them how to earn a living along with it. There are all sorts of people out there that can make all sorts of money, but they live like animals. I think it's a big deal that we teach our children how to live. But I think teaching them to earn a living is important, and we're not minimizing that at all. But tonight, if I could, I want to talk to you about training our children financially. I'm going to make some very practical statements about training children in regard to finances. First of all, let me say this. We should train our children to be a success with their finances, whether you as a parent are a success or not. You say, why would you say that? Because there are some people that are not successful financially. They don't know how to handle their money, so they aren't going to say anything to their kids about it. If we're not careful, folks, you're going to have a vicious cycle. So I say train your children to be successful with their finances, whether you are or not. I was reading a verse the other day, and it interested me. Listen to this. In Romans 2:21, the last part of the verse says, thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Now, that verse, that says something to me. The Bible's talking about we ought to live what we teach. But I will tell you this. Do you know that if you teach the right thing, even if you don't live it, the right thing is still the right thing? Listen, if you are a mess financially, could I recommend that you love your children enough to teach them proper finances, even if you're not a good example of it? Listen. There's our kids need to learn. And young people, children, if your parents, if they want to teach you about finances, don't have a bad attitude about it. Listen. You might think, well, if I try to teach my teenager about good finances, they know that we have a mess on our hands financially. If I were a young person and my mom and dad loved me enough to teach me something that I needed to know, I just want to sit up and listen. Now, did you know that you can teach your children proper finances even if you're very wrongly deep in debt? You can still teach them. Let them learn. Let them learn from your mistakes. Don't be so embarrassed that you let them follow in your footsteps because you're afraid to train them in an area where you're weak. And I would say this also. The word train does not just mean let them watch. I'll tell you where parents make a mistake. They thought their kids were watching. Well, if you thought your kids were watching and they weren't, now you're in trouble. Train them. That means hands-on, train. I don't think that we learn everything in life by just watching an example. I think there's training that's necessary. That means you on purpose train them. There were things when my kids were growing up, I thought they got to be getting this. They're watching it every day of their life. No, not necessarily. So train is... Watching is a part of being trained, but watching is not everything that training is. So my first thought in this lesson is this. Train your children to be successful in their finances, whether you are or not. Number two, parents should train by being good examples to their children in the area of finances. Now, first thing I said was if you're not a good example, teach it anyway. Now I say... You should train by being a good example to your children in the area of finances. In John chapter 13, verse number 15, it says this, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done." Our kids, they seldom do what we say, but they're very good at doing what we do. Now, I think we should set a good example. I think that they are going to develop... To a certain degree, your kids will develop your spending habits because they're watching you. You know what that means to me? If your kids are going to develop your spending habits, if I were you, I wouldn't waste even if you can afford to. Because your children are liable to develop your wasteful habit. And when they get out there in reality, they might not be able to afford it. Now they've created a habit that's not a good habit. I don't think we ought to be wasteful anyway. But what I said was, be careful being wasteful. You say, I got plenty of money, I can waste, but your kids are watching. And you may find them falling flat on their face when they develop your habits and they go out and practice them and they don't have the money to waste. They will. I think to a certain degree, kids will develop a parent's saving habits. They develop a parent's work habit. They develop parents' attitudes. Now, the truth of the matter is we ought to be developing Christ's attitudes in everything we do. But look, parents should train their kids by being a good example. I will never forget when I grew up. My dad's way of doing things was he got paid on Friday. He got up earlier on Monday than any other day of the week. He got his checkbook out. He took every one of the bills that had come in. I remember watching how my dad did it. My dad got up early. He had two eggs every morning of his life. He had a coffee and an orange juice. And he would get his checkbook out and pull his wallet out because he'd cashed his check on Friday. He would take all the bills. He would look at them. He would pay what needed to be paid. Sometimes he'd leave a handful of dollars with a little note on it to pay this with cash. And he'd pay this with a check every Monday of his life routinely. Without missing, he paid those bills. He would leave it there, go to work, and then mom would dole out the payments. I watched him do that over and over and over again. Do you know what I do? Once a week, I get up early in the morning. I take all the bills that have come in. I get everything ready and paid. I write the checks. I use the credit card. I set a little money out. And every week, on schedule, we pay the bills. I developed that habit by watching my parents. Now, kids know. They're not blind. And they're not dumb. So, let me tell you, you can train your kids by setting a good example. Number three, train. If you're going to train them, it means don't spoil them. If you want to train your children financially, don't spoil them. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says this, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." Now listen, that where it's talking about we knowing how to give good gifts to our children, when it's talking about good gifts, it's not talking about high quality gifts. I think it's talking about gifts that are good for them. You know that all gifts you give your children are not good for them. If you give your kids everything that they want, you're not teaching them very much about the difference between wants and needs. But if it's possible, if the Bible says here there are good gifts, that means the opposite of true, there are bad gifts. And when I say bad gifts, I'm not talking about you gave them a fifth of Jack Daniels. I'm talking about you gave them something that probably they shouldn't have had. Say, because it was wicked? No. Because sometimes children need to learn how to do without. Say, why? Because that turns you into something. You can't have everything you want. If you wanted to go to the people that have the greatest financial stress, usually you find out that they wanted something and they got that something and they couldn't afford to have that something and now they're stressed and they fight in their marriage and they're running behind all the time and they just don't know how to handle the mess that they've created for themselves. Maybe if somebody would have told them when they were young, you can't have that, they would have learned how to do without something. But don't spoil them. Sometimes it's good to do without. Do you know that it may be good? When was the last time you seen anybody wear out a pair of shoes? I grew up in a generation where my mom would look at my tennis shoes and she didn't look at the top of them or the style to determine if it was time for a new pair of shoes. It'd be one of two things. She'd say, "Wiggle your toe." If they were too small, we'd change them out. See, what else did she do? She'd say, "Pop your foot up so I can see the bottom." You know what she's looking for? A hole. Any of you have to go through the hole inspection to get a new pair of shoes? In America today, there's a shoe problem. You have more shoes than what you know to do with. You don't know where to put them all. Now, you can't pay your bills on time, but you got plenty of shoes. But what I'm telling you is it doesn't hurt to wear something out. Did you know that all struggle is not bad? And struggle is a great teacher. I think when your children are very young, let them put a little chart on the refrigerator and let them earn an item or two. Teach them how to work and earn and work and earn until they can afford something. Hey, if they get a little older, yeah, you can. My wife used to pay our kids to match socks. You say, why? She hated matching socks. She could get pennies and nickels out and say, "You match socks, I'm going to give you, how much did you give them, hon?"
Well, it started out a penny and then it went up to a nickel.
Yeah, inflation. Started a penny, went to 5 cents, but they got paid for matching socks. Can I recommend that you not give your children everything? I did not grow up being handed everything I want. You say, but I did without when I was a child and I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. Well, how did you get the money you have? Evidently, they didn't give you everything. You didn't have everything. But I would just tell you, if you hand everything to your children, they're not going to learn the lessons of life. The other day, I think I seen it on YouTube. I watched a child watching her mother at the ATM machine. Her mother went up, pushed a button, and money came out, and the little girl's eyes went. So the mother went over to do something, and the little girl's over there frantically pushing the button. You parents that spoil your kids think you're an ATM machine. Push the button, and I get what I want. that will not sustain them in their future. I would even say this, I would be careful living too extravagantly in the presence of your children. You may turn them into a husband or wife that can't be controlled. And then they marry. And if they marry, there's constant tension because you can never satisfy them. So they might not make it in college. Why? They had to buckle down and do without something. So I said, train your children about finance. That means don't spoil them. Number four, train them to tithe. The Bible teaches it. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, it says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase. My children were born, and I think this is the right way to do it. We tithe for them. They got some money when they were too young to understand it. We tithe for them. When we started all of our children that way. I think, and I'll tell you this, some of you won't understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think you ought to teach them to tithe even if you don't. Why? Well, if you love them, you want things to turn out well for them. You'll have a mess on your hands because you didn't. But if you'd teach them right, then they would succeed. Every one of my kids at one time or another, they had a dollar and we exchanged it for 10 dimes, and we took one dime and set it aside and said, that dime right there belongs to the Lord. So, you know, I don't mind the kids using tithing envelopes. It'd be good for them to learn. We get them. The deacons and the coin counters, or the people who do all the counting around here, they pop open envelopes, or some child's put 25 cents in there. You say, well, should they be wasting those envelopes? No, they're not wasting the envelope. They're learning to be faithful to the Lord, and it's important. Teach them that God gave the whole dollar to them and one-tenth is His. It goes back to Him. Teach them that they should tithe even when they don't think they can. If you don't teach your kids, they're not going to know. Let me go on. Number five, train your children to save. Train them to save. Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant. And what it teaches is, and we're not going to read it all, but it teaches that the ant, he gathers and he saves so he has when he needs it. Listen, when your children are young, save for them while they're young. Then could I recommend that you keep your hands out of the money that you save for them? And all sorts of parents had good intentions. They were going to save for their children, and then they couldn't pay their own bills, so they spent all their children's savings. But save for them when they're young. Let them get a savings account. Let them get a little savings book and teach them how. There's nothing wrong with teaching your children something about the interest that they can draw from their savings account. If you want to train your children financially, take them down to the bank. Walk them in. Talk to them about what all this is. Tell them what happens at a bank. They do need to learn that the ATM machine does not create money, and you don't just get it because you push a button. There's more to it than that. See, when Proverbs 6:6 talks about go to the ant, it's talking about properly handling your increase. We taught our children, and I'm gonna use these three jars. When our children were growing up, we taught them there were three things that you do with your money. You save some, you spend some, and you give some. You might say, well, this is archaic. Maybe so. But can I tell you something? When you put coins in something that's visible, the children can see it. There's something about that. Something about seeing that money. Those of you that have investments, do you like to look at yours? Like to check on it? You want to look at it? You want to see it? So when my kids were little, they were told, you get some money. Well, what we want you to do is we're going to put some in here, and we're going to put some in here, and then let's put some in here. And you know, they were just taught this is what you do over and over and over again. You're going to save some, you're going to spend some, and you're going to give some. Now, giving, that's the Lord, and offering. And this thing of savings,
It's important. I wonder how many people through the years, and I mean hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people in my counseling, I've said this. I believe that you should start some type of a retirement program for yourself. If all you put away is $5 a week, that's it. If that's all you put away is $5 a week, you have started a routine. Later on, you can increase it. It doesn't have to be a big amount at first, but you know if I could get everybody here to do this with your money, you'd be so much better off. You save some, you spend some, you give some. Pretty easy budget. Now, the budget needs to be a little more complex than that, but that'll keep you safe. Now, there's a couple parts to this one. The spending part, that's where you have to teach your children the difference between wants and needs. There's a difference between something that you want and something that you need. You say, but Brother Owens, is it, if I want it, is it bad for me to have it? Well, if it's not sinful, no, it's not bad for you to have it. But just so you know, you're going to save some, you're going to give some, you're going to spend some, and when you go to your spending part, you spend on your needs first. And if there's some left over, you spend on your wants. Now, if everybody here will remember what I just taught you and teach that to your children can succeed financially. Oh, but you'll have to learn it first. That is if you want to be a good example. But you know what? If you don't want to be a good example of this, teach it to your kids anyway, because they deserve the chance to succeed even if you don't want to. And every child in here, if you're listening to what I'm saying, when you get money, you save some. You spend some. You give the Lord His. When you spend, you get your needs first and your wants second. That'll take care of it. That $500 package that you got through the internet to help you get yourself straightened out financially, you can send it back, get your money back, take these three little jars, go to Dollar Tree, spend a buck each on them, get you a handful of pennies and go home and practice, and we'll get you all straightened out.
Yes, sir.
So, you got to train your children to save. Let me go on. Number six, don't leave your children with your debt when you die. Don't leave your children with your debt when you die. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, it talks about owing no man anything. I don't think the Bible considers borrowing money sinful as long as you're paying it on time. When you borrow money, it's like renting money. And as long as you pay everything as you're supposed to, there's not a problem. But when you create debts that you don't pay, now there's a problem. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not just. I just want to say, don't leave your children with your debt. You say, I have insurance. Well, good. Keep it up. Because if you're deep in debt and you leave your children with the thought that you're going to die and the family name is tarnished because of debt, I just don't think that's right. I think there's something wrong with that. Let me tell you one of the greatest things your kids could inherit from you. It's not money. It's character. Because if they could inherit character, they can figure out a way to get the money. But I just wanted to throw this in here. Point six, don't leave your children with your debt. I'll never forget my mentor said that when his father passed away, his father was in debt. And he said it haunted me and haunted me and haunted me. He said, I finally drove to the state in which he resided, and I looked up all the debtors and I paid those bills because I could not stand the thought of the family name being tarnished because that debt was left. But let's make sure we don't do that. Let me go on. Number seven, train your children on how to spend. How to spend. Isaiah 55, verse number 2, it says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Now, what that verse is saying, it's saying you were spending money, but it wasn't on a need. It was on a want. Now remember, it's okay to get the want if you've already paid for the need. So, you need to teach your children. You need to teach them how to spend money. Teach them how to be thrifty. Teach them how to make a deal. Teach them how to conduct transactions. When I was a young man, when it was time for me to buy my first car, and so you know, I don't know how this generation does it, but nobody bought me any cars. I was a 16-year-old boy. I wanted a car. My dad said, "You can have one." I said, "Great." He said, "How much money you got?" And again, I'm not telling you you're right or wrong, but the minute I got enough money for that car, he said, "I would want to mention to you the cost of the insurance and the fuel and the upkeep, because you're paying for that too." You say, "That was mean. The best thing my dad ever did for me." And so, when I bought that first car, he took me to show me how. He took me to the bank. We went in, sat down with the loan officer, and my dad and he were on first name terms, and the loan officer said, "What do you need?" And I said, "Well, we're going to buy a car." And my dad said, "It's not we're you." It was scary, but he taught me how. Because he thought I needed to know how. You need to teach your children. Do you know that moms today don't teach their children how to shop for groceries? You know, there's a way to save money and do well if you know how to shop. But we ought to teach our kids how to shop for how to go to the grocery store. They ought to be taught how to buy a car. They ought to be taught how to shop for clothing. And remember, you got to teach them the difference between wants and needs. And really, it can be a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun. I love it. I love it. You ever go to one of the stores that's got the little children's grocery cart, those cute little things? I think those are adorable. Now, I'm just gullible enough to believe that those are there because someone's being taught on how to shop. Now, they're probably there as cutie little thing for a kid to roll around so the kid's not throwing a fit. But I would have thought, wow, what a great way to teach your child how to shop. Give them $5 and let them shop for the deals and contribute. But I will tell you this. You've got to teach them how to spend money. If not, they won't know how. I could not tell you how many adults I come across that do not know how to spend money. They don't know how to be thrifty. We have a new store coming into town. It's called Aldi. You'll save money there. Some of you would not know how to use a coupon if you had to. You can save a lot of money with coupons. You say, "I'm above that." Well, you'll learn. Now, and I thank God, you know, if you say, "Well, I have so much money, that doesn't trouble me." Usually it's the people with the most that spend it the worst. That's what I found. The people that have the most do the worst job of spending it. One day you look back and say, "What in the world happened to all that money?" Let me go on. Number eight. When your children reach their teenage years, I think you need to train them. I think you need to train them about the dangers of credit. So when your children reach their teenage years, begin training them about the dangers of credit. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Did you know that there's only one way that a kid can hear the instruction of his father? That is if his father is instructing him. Don't leave it to chance. And let me tell you something. I am for education all the way. It is not a school's job to train your kids. It's mom and dad's job. The school is only supplemental. Only supplemental. You can't pay someone to raise your kids for you. You're to raise your kids. But when they reach the teenage years, I think it's a good idea to teach them about the dangers of credit. Begin teaching them. I think you can teach them the positive attributes of credit. But it's got to be taught. Young people think if you get a little credit, it's the answer to all problems. It may be the start of all problems if you're not careful. Begin teaching them about interest rates and credit cards and high interest rates and the dangers of borrowing. Well, I would also say you need to teach your children the dangers of loaning. you loan money to people, you could destroy relationships. You say, well, shouldn't you be a good Christian and loan? Oh, sure. If you'll do it the Bible way. The Bible says, lend, hoping for nothing again. You say, what does that mean? That means if you lend somebody money, yeah, might as well just say, you know what, I'm never going to let that money come between me and them. I'm loaning it. It's yours. If you pay me back, great. If you don't, it's okay. I'll love you anyway. You say, I couldn't do that. Might not be a good idea to loan them because you'll destroy a relationship. But when they're teenagers, there's a level of teaching that they need to receive. Again, I'll say this because I like saying it, because I hope one day I'll look down from heaven and somebody will say, I remember what my preacher taught me. But I think in their teenage years, you need to start teaching them about retirement. When all of my children were teenagers, I set up an IRA for every one of them. Well, they were teenagers. Because I thought it was a big deal. You say, how much money's in there? Probably not a penny, but at least I taught it. So, when they reach the teenage years, they've got to learn about credit. I think we all understand, you adults, I think most of you understand credit. It can be good for you or it can be very bad for you. And people that are not trained about it misuse it. And there is an element in the financial world that will take advantage of people that do not totally understand credit. Well, I'm going to give you a $5,000 credit limit. Go for it. But they didn't really talk to you about the 23% interest that you're going to pay and how it was going to be compounded and what a mess it can create for you just like that. Let me go on. Number 9. Train your children not to steal. Train your children not to steal. Romans chapter 13, verse number 9 is pretty clear. It says, thou shalt not steal. You say, well, I've already talked to my kids about not robbing banks. I'm not real worried about that. I'm more worried about them being lazy on the job and stealing from their boss there. You'll hurt yourself financially if you're lazy. If you're lazy, you won't get raises. So I don't think all stealing is taking a penny and stick it in your pocket. Sometimes it's the laziness at work. It's spending your whole day on your cell phone when you were supposed to be working. If you want to earn, there's a right way to do it. I think to some degree, when you steal from someone, do you know that you are shortening that someone's life? You say, how so? They gave their life to earn what you stole. That means for them to get back what you stole, they must give of their life again. You shorten their life by stealing from them. And stealing is usually, it's usually the result of lazy people because they don't want to have to work. They wanted someone to work for it, but they didn't want to work for it. So they wanted to steal from me. I work for it. They don't want to work. So most stealing, it comes from a laziness. But I said, number 9, train your children not to steal. Number 10, teach your children about the importance of confidentiality in their finances. Teach your children the importance of confidentiality in their finances. Proverbs 14:23 says, the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The word penury there means poverty. I think you should train your children not to go around bragging about how much money they have in their pocket. Now, they're going to do it anyway, especially the wee little ones. They come to church all the time holding dollars up. I got money for Jesus. And as a pastor, I'm very glad they've got money for Jesus. But I often think when they're doing that, I'm thinking, you might want to put that away because there's somebody behind you that has no money for Jesus and they want money for Mikey. And they're going to get you in the hallway and they're going to take your Jesus money. It's going to become Mikey's money. Yeah, and you say, well, for a 4-year-old, I understand that. Well, listen, I think you need to teach your children. Hey, have you ever been somewhere and someone pulls out a big old wad of money? Now, the minute I see someone pull out a big wad of money in public, I'm thinking, put that away. Put away. Figure out a way to get your money out without letting everybody know how much is there. But I think there is something that I think teaching our children confidentialities and the propriety of it, I think they should keep their money in their pocket. There are people in this world that will take advantage of them. If you don't believe me, just take all the money that you have to go buy a car and walk up with all that money right in front of the person selling you the car. And when they ask you how much money you have there, and you say, I've got $10,000. You say, how much is that car right there? They're going to say, $10,000. This is your lucky day. I don't think you need to walk into every deal letting everybody know everything that you have. There's a propriety in regard to finances. And so I think we ought to teach our children confidentiality in regard to their money. Then, number 11, I think we ought to train them not to waste. And we should train them not to waste. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 9, it teaches this. It teaches the slothful is brother to the great waster. So, we ought to teach our children not to waste. You say, waste what? They shouldn't waste their money. We ought to teach our children. Hey, the other day, I was at Lowe's. And it's always been my way. If I see money on the ground, I pick it up. Always. I was in a hurry. I jumped out of the car. I started to take off and I thought I seen something shiny. I thought, I'm in a hurry. And I stopped and I said, you don't need that penny, but don't walk away from it. So I went back. I picked up a stupid penny. I almost got hit by a car. That would have cost me. But I got that penny and I put it in my pocket and I was very pleased with myself. But let me tell you, we waste money. We throw money away. Be careful. Teach your children not to waste. Teach your children. And again, I just have to tell you, I'm feeling older and older, but I got to tell you, I grew up in the generation where children didn't waste food. If you took food on your plate, you ate that food. And maybe 3 hours later. You say, well, I think it's unfair. No, you didn't have to. If you let them choose how much they want, then it's not unfair. Now, if you pile it on, then say, you're going to eat everything I just gave you. Okay, I could see an injustice in that. But if you say to a child, now, is that enough? Can you eat that? And if they take it, I think they ought to eat it. Say, well, if they don't like it, oh, well, we wouldn't want someone to do something they don't like. Maybe that's why half America won't go to work and won't pay their bills and won't tell the truth and won't go to church. Why? They don't like it. You don't want anybody to have to do something they don't like. You couldn't have lived a week in my home. It wasn't what I want to do. It's what was right. And I was told I was going to do what's right. And I'm glad. I have no regrets about it. And I don't feel abused. I feel honored. I thank God that my parents taught me integrity and character and how to do what's unpleasant. Or I would have quit a long time ago. I didn't sass my boss because I didn't like it. I was taught better than that. You say, why are you so loud? Because a few of you were nodding off and I just... just need to get your attention. Teach them not to waste money. Teach them not to waste food. Teach them not to waste utilities. My parents, they were very, very mixed up. They would frequently say, you think this place is a barn? I'm thinking, no, I've told you before. It doesn't even look like a barn. That was because I left the door open. And my dad would say, who do you think is paying for the heat? I remember one time I said, I'm figuring you or mom. They were saying more than that. Don't let them waste water and electricity. You know something? Turn the light out when you're done in a room. Hey, do it here at the church too. Why? Don't waste. And this is how you train children. It wouldn't even hurt that you recycled a little bit here and there. You say, why? It might teach them to be thrifty. It might just teach them to be thrifty. Let me give you one more point and we'll be done. Number 12. Train them to be kind and train them to be generous. In Luke 6:38 it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Part of the financial teaching of the Bible is that givers are receivers. Now, I don't think you ought to give just to receive, but I will promise you, if you give, you will receive. That's the way it works. Teach them that someone that practices good financial behavior, they will be blessed by God. This right here, That will bring the blessing of God on someone. And we shouldn't be stingy. God likes to bless people that obey the Bible. And He will. I would also, when you're teaching them to be kind and generous, I would also work some at teaching them humility in their giving. I think there are people in our church who want to be kind to someone. I'm amazed how often they'll say, "Hey, preacher, would you help me? I need to do something for so-and-so, but I really don't want them to know it was me. I would just like to help them." Boy, I respect that. And that there's something about that. And you say, is that how it has to be all the time? Not necessarily, but I am just telling you that humility, there's a special blessing in that for you, I'm just sure. We are not to give to get reward of man, and we're not to give hoping to get something from man in return. If we're going to give, we ought to give as unto the Lord. And if you give as unto the Lord, He's keeping the record book, and you don't need anybody to pat you on the back and say how wonderful you are. God's good, and He deserves credit for it. Now, I'll repeat myself as I often do. I said, number one, train your children to be successful in their finances, whether you are or not. I said, number two, parents should train by being good examples to their children in the area of finances. I said, number three, this training means don't spoil them. I said, number four, train them to tithe. Number five, train your children to save. Number six, don't leave your children with your debt. Number seven, train your children on how to spend. Number eight, when they reach their teenage years, train them about the dangers of credit. Number nine, train them not to steal. Number 10, train your children about the importance of confidentiality in their money and their funds. Number 11, train them not to waste. And number 12, train them to be generous and kind. And if you don't remember anything I said tonight, if I could get everybody here to do this, you going to save some? You're going to spend some, and you're going to give some. And if you'll learn how to do that, it will straighten your life out from here on out financially. Now, it may take you a little while to dig yourself out of the mess, but if you'll save some, spend some, and give some, that's a basic budget. Now, I'll give you a more detailed budget later on, but that'll help you.